It's my prayer that as you have come to worship with us, that you're going to experience what we experience here in the building, and that is the presence and the power and the comfort and the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for, and I pray that you will experience that with us. We're glad that you're here. Now, let's worship.
Jesus. We have a God who is alive. That's the reason we meet. Otherwise, we have no reason for being here. The fact that Jesus lives and Jesus cares for you and Jesus loves you makes all the difference and is the reason we've gathered here this Easter morning. We're going to go into a quick congregational rehearsal moment. I need your help with the first song we sing. Now, for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Christians through the liturgy of the church would say this. Christian 1 says, "He is risen." Christian 2 says, "He is risen indeed." And then together we say, "Jesus is alive." Can we try that? I'm going to go first. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus is alive. Y'all got that? Thank you. Be ready. Okay, be ready.
This morning I think of that day when Jesus was called and said that his dear friend Lazarus was very, very sick. And you remember the story as he delayed, and when he got to Bethany, was told that Lazarus had been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. He was met by Martha, Lazarus' sister, the dear friends of Jesus. And she said, "Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus said this, "Your brother will rise again." She said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection." And this is what Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die, ever. Do you believe this?" And she says, "I do believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God." You know the story as it goes on. He makes his way to the tomb and he says, "Remove the stone from the tomb." And she said, "Lord, he's been in the tomb 4 days. His body is decaying." And he said, "Didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of God?" And they rolled back the stone and Jesus thanks the Lord for what he is about to do. And then listen to what the scripture says. After this, he said, or after this it says, he shouted with a loud voice. He shouted with a loud voice. And this is what he said, "Lazarus, come out." And the word says, the dead man came out. Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians that the day is going to come when there's going to be another resurrection. A resurrection that will follow the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the resurrection of those who belong to Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. And the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Listen. With a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. You know what? I don't think it's circumstance that in John chapter 11, Jesus is standing before Lazarus' tomb, and it said, he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the day that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Have you ever wondered what that shout will be? Oh, I don't know for sure, but I believe that the shout is going to be his calling our names. He's going to call my name. I am going to understand. If I'm already in the grave by then, I am going to understand. It's Jesus saying, "Gary, come out." And that shout is going to wake me up. You know what? I am going to rise. I'm going to rise. We celebrate Easter today. Because one day the Lord himself is going to descend with a shout. I believe the shout is going to be one, if you are his, that you will recognize. And he will say, "Come out!" And you along with me will be able to say, "I will rise."
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings
Jesus is alive.
Join the choir this morning. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. We are so glad that you're here with us. I've seen lots of friends that have come in from out of town already, and so if you're a family or just visiting with us this morning, we are so glad that you've chosen to worship here at North Oxford Baptist Church. There are some guest cards in the backs of the pews. We would love for you to fill that out and put it in the offering plate later in the service to have a record of your attendance. At this time, we just want to have a moment of prayer before we continue in our worship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. If you would, pray with me. God, it's only through you that we can rise. And God, this morning we celebrate what you did on the cross. But God, what you did when you conquered death and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, we praise you today. God, may we be reminded of the sacrifice that you made, but God, you made it so that we would have a chance at eternal life. God, I praise you and I thank you for who you are. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All in favor of Brent being part of the choir, raise your hand. You're in, brother. You're in. TJ. Let's stand together.
Of all names.
Name above all names.
beautiful words sung for hundreds of years. Let's join together.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. My all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, His gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
things the church today. Today and not live with regret, and Lord, not live with guilt, but we can live in abundant life and in forgiveness and in power and in love. I do pray today all gathered here in this place will find love and acceptance and forgiveness and know the new life in Christ, and that you would cover us with your Spirit, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I believe in the song.
Well, I thank God for our worship ministry and the worship that we have had this morning as we think about Easter. Wow, this is so good to see all of you here today. As we think about the fact that he is alive and what difference it makes that he is alive, that's what I want to talk about today. What is Easter? And why does Easter even matter? Really, why does it even matter? Last night, having a conversation with one of my grandbabies, precious little thing, and they'd come here to visit with us, and I said, "It's Easter." I said, "What is Easter about?" She said, "The Easter money." And I said, "Well, that's great." And she is so excited, and she is so wonderful. Her big sister was standing there with me when I said that, and she said, she was looking at her little sister. She said, "God." God. And then she looked at me and we were talking about Easter and she was saying, "God, God." And then finally she said, "Is it his birthday?" Well, I tell you, that's precious. That is really sweet. A few years ago, I was having a conversation with a child a little bit older. It was at one of our passion play events, and I was talking to this little girl, and she was fully aware of what we were celebrating, and I said, what is it about Easter? What is Easter all about? And she said, "It's about the resurrection." I said, "Well, what does that mean? What is the resurrection?" And she said, "Jesus was dead, and he came to life." I said, "How did that happen?" She said, "God did it. God did it." I said, "God did it. Why did God do that?" And she says, "To save us from our sins." And I'm thinking, you know what? That is deep, deep stuff. It really is deep stuff. When you think about the atonement, what Jesus did for us on the cross, and what happened when he died, and what happened when he rose again, we call that the atonement. What happened is deep stuff. It's stuff that we don't really quite totally understand. But we do know this: when he did that, for those of us who placed our faith in him, our sin penalty was removed. Wow, Easter. Paul was writing to a group of folks that he knew real well in Corinth. 1 Corinthians is a letter that Paul writes to this group of believers, this church he loved so much. But he had been gone from there for a while, and since he had left there, some other folks had come in and had started to stir up things and say things in the church and teach doctrines that were not what Paul had taught at all, and Paul got wind of it. He writes this letter. One of the things that he writes, we find in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, had to do with the resurrection. And the fact that folks in the church there, some of them had begun to believe that they had this special kind of spiritual status with God. Now, they still believed that Jesus had died on a cross, and they still believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead, but they didn't believe in the resurrection of anybody else. And Paul was obviously distressed with them and upset over them. And he thought, "I'm going to have to go all the way back to the beginning, and I'm going to have to teach them all over, remind them all over again what it was that I taught them." Can you imagine being taught by the Apostle Paul and wandering off from that? I can't, but they had. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he addresses it right at the very beginning. Let me just read a few verses, beginning with verse 1. Paul is writing to them. He says, "Now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel I proclaim to you. You received it and have taken your stand on it. You are also saved by it if you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believed for no purpose. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one abnormally born, he also appeared to me." And Paul was reminding them without question that it was true that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and that it mattered that Jesus had been raised from the dead. What I want us to think about today is, why does Easter matter? And I want to do it, just go back to the very basics, like Paul was doing with the folks there in Corinth, and I'm just going to kind of use his outline to go back and think about this morning, why does Easter matter? Why does it matter? And from this, I want to give you three reasons why Easter really matters. When I say why Easter matters, I'm saying, why does the resurrection matter? What does it matter that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, the first reason I want to give you today is this. Why does Easter matter? It matters because of this. Easter, or the resurrection, defines our faith. It defines our faith. Pick up with me, if you have your Bibles, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. And let's read what Paul has to say about this. He said, now, by the way, what follows here is a theological masterpiece. It's absolutely unbelievable. I'm so grateful that Paul wrote this. In verse 12, he says, now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. And I'll tell you this morning that Easter matters because the resurrection of Jesus Christ absolutely defines our faith. I want you to think about that in a couple of ways, the ways that Paul brought it to us so long ago. It defines our faith. I want to tell you that without the resurrection, without Easter, we have an entirely different religion. Christianity is not Christianity without the resurrection of Christ. He says here that the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of our faith. I think it's absolutely amazing to think that, as Paul writes in Ephesians, that before the foundation of the world, God had planned all of this before the world was even created. The Lord had known what we human beings were going to do. And the Lord had come up with a plan that we call the gospel, where a son would be sent into the world and he would live a sinless life and die on a cross, languish in a tomb for 3 days and be raised from the dead. The resurrection is the foundation of our faith. It is that upon which the gospel has been built. Without the resurrection, the birth and the life and the death of Jesus is no different than any other person. You know, you and I have been born, we're living. Unless the Lord comes back, every single one of us in this room, every single one of us is going to die. We're going to die. Without the resurrection, Jesus would have been just like us. Born, lived, died. And I'll tell you what, Jesus is alive. And the fact is, at the end of the story, the resurrection, that part of the gospel, gives the gospel its substance. Paul goes on to say, without the resurrection, you and I would be living in our sin. Our sin would not be forgiven. I mean, every sin that we've already committed would have been counted against us, not forgiven. He goes on to say in verse 18, not only that, those folks that you love, that you have put your hope in, the fact that they are in heaven with Jesus now because they have died years ago, those people like my dad, they perished. Without the resurrection, they have perished. They're dead. There is no life in them. And Paul says, without the resurrection, your religion is worthless. Says that two times, those verses that I just read to you. So, this religion that you've clung on to, held on to, is worthless. It's a joke that you've hung on to anything like that. Not only does Easter tell us that, well, without the resurrection, our religion is an entirely different religion. But I'll tell you this, without the resurrection, Jesus is an entirely different person. Without the resurrection, he was just a person as we are. He lived an extraordinary life, to be sure. But without the resurrection, Jesus is a person who lived an extraordinary life, and then he died. And that's it. I mean, what are the implications to your life of a dead Jesus? I want you to think about your life and the hope that you have in him, because he's living and a living Lord. Without the resurrection, think about your life. Dead Jesus. Dead Jesus. Well, the implications are many. Things like no salvation. No victory over sin. No Holy Spirit. No relationship, fellowship with God. That sweet, abiding relationship that you can have with him. No eternal life. Every bit of that is a hoax. Because Jesus is dead. He died and was put in that tomb, and his body rotted just like everybody else's will, and he's dead without the resurrection. So Paul goes on to write in verse 32. He says, if the dead aren't raised, he said, well, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The fact is that if Jesus is dead, we might as well live the best way we think we ought to live, and make up our own rules. The world's doing that anyway, right? I mean, that's the culture anyway, right? Make up your own rules. Do what you want to do. If Jesus isn't alive, we might as well do that as well. Without the resurrection, Jesus, he's a great teacher. I mean, my goodness, you read some of the things that he taught, and that is just amazing. He is a great teacher. He is an incredible moral guide. We look at his life and the way he lived and the way he responded to people, the way he loved people, the way he reached out to people. A moral guide that we can look at and try to follow the best way we can. He's a prophet. He's an historical figure. He is definitely somebody good to study. We want to study his life. We can study his life and learn so much from him. He is the Jesus of the Eastern religions. He is the Jesus of Islam. He is the Jesus of atheism. But he is not your Savior. If the resurrection is a lie. Easter matters because Easter defines our faith. Secondly, Easter not only defines our faith, it defines our future. We've been thinking about that a lot this morning, about our future. In chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 20, Paul starts to talk about that. And he says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward it is coming those who belong to Christ. You know, I just love to think of it. I came across this idea a few years ago that we celebrate Easter every year. This is the 63rd time I've celebrated Easter. And I don't remember most of them, but I've celebrated Easter 63 times. But you know what? One day, I'm going to have an Easter. One day, I'm going to rise. And I'm going to rise simultaneous with all of those who have put their faith in Christ. We're going to rise at the same time. We're going to experience the new heavens and the new earth all at the same time. I'm going to rise when my dad rises and my grandparents rise. I'm going to rise with those I've known and loved for a long, long time. Easter defines our future. And in these verses that I've just read, there's some important questions that are answered. When it's talking about this resurrection of those that will come, the question is, well, who will rise? In verse 23, it says, those who belong to Christ. Well, when will that happen? This, in verse 23 says, it will happen at his coming. It's going to happen when he comes. Well, how will it happen? Oh, let's look at something. This is exciting. Go a page over to verse 50. We're going to read a few verses there. 50 through 52 says, brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. In the blink of an eye. It's going to happen for those who belong to Christ at his coming. It's going to happen in the blink of an eye. What's going to happen then? Well, let's keep on reading. Let's keep on reading. Let's pick up at verse 53. For this corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen in the blink of an eye? Well, it says that which has been corruptible is going to become incorruptible. Oh, you think about that for a minute. I want you to know today that I, your pastor, am a very corrupted person. I am. And but beyond that, I'm set up to be corrupted some more. I am corruptible as I move forward. Because things happen in my life that throw me off track. Temptations come into my life. Things happen that make me angry. And I will say things and do things that I should not do. I am some kind of corruptible. And every time that corruption happens in my life, I become less and less like Christ. And I hate that. And I ask the Lord to forgive me for that. And I go running back to him. And then I face that same corrupting influence again and again and again. You know what's going to happen when he comes? And in the blink of an eye, I will no longer be corruptible. Nothing can get to me. No evil, no temptation. Incorruptible. Cannot be corrupted anymore. Not only does it say that which is incorruptible will no longer be corruptible, but it says that which is mortal will become immortal. I've sort of noticed in these 64 years that I have lived that when I'm thinking about mortal, I'm thinking about living, and I'm thinking about the evidence that I'm alive, that I've got a body and I'm still moving around and all that kind of stuff. But I can tell you, I look back 20 years and this ain't nothing like it was 20 years ago. And it's sure nothing like it was 40 years ago. And some of y'all know in the last year I've had some issues. I've been a really healthy guy all my life. I'm still healthy, but there's stuff happening, and it's frustrating. And I talk to some of my older friends, and they tell me, you ain't seen nothing yet. But I'm beginning to see the mortal decay of a body as not being a bad thing, but being as a good thing. You say, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy. You know what it reminds me of? That one day, in the blink of an eye, Paul takes a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 15. We won't do it today, but he talks about the immortal body, the spiritual body that we will be given. And my body's going to be as good as anybody else's. And I'm going to live forever. Easter defines our faith, but Easter defines our future. One last thing is this. Easter defines our focus. There was a great verse at the end of chapter 15, the last verse, verse 58, that I love. Long time ago, I memorized this verse, but it has everything to do with Easter. And he says, therefore, my dear brothers. Now, what is he referring to? He's referring to the fact that Jesus is alive. He's referring to the fact that Jesus has risen. He's referring to the fact that our faith is defined by it. Our future is defined by it. As a result of that, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord's work is not in vain. Therefore, as a result of the resurrection, what's he saying there? He's saying that the resurrection of Jesus ought to make a difference in the way we live our life. Easter defines our focus. So many of us as Christians run around with our lives focused on everything else. And Paul says, no! The resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference in the way your life is to be lived. And he says, be steadfast. What is that? I mean, I'm thinking this word steadfast means that over a long period of time, I remain faithful. I remain the same. I keep going. I keep following him in the middle of all the changes that happen as life goes on. Life changes. Things are good. Things are bad. Sometimes things just move along, but life changes. In the middle of all of that, Paul says, my dear brothers, in light of the resurrection of Jesus, be steadfast. Be faithful. And I'm reminded of those dear saints that I know that are so faithful to do what Jesus said when he said, just abide in me. Abide in me. Let me abide in you. And let me produce a lot of fruit through you. Know this, you can't do anything without me. Abide. Steadfast. Disciplined. Spending purposefully time with the one who loves you more than anybody. Practicing his presence and helping you to make decisions and whatever comes along, steadfast all the way through. Steadfast. But then he says, be steadfast. And then he says, immovable. Immovable. I mean, I picture this sentry here, and whatever it is that's coming at him, he does not move. He does not budge. He is not afraid. Steadfast, immovable. As circumstances come into your life, temptation comes into your life, something that would pull you off over here or push you off over there, whatever it is, and he says, don't move in your relationship to the Lord. And the way life comes at you. I'm thinking of a friend that I've known for 40 years. Gave me a call a couple of days ago. And he said, I just wanted you to know that I've been diagnosed with colon cancer. And I said, oh, man. I'm so sorry. And he said, no. I just wanted you to know. He said, don't be sorry. I want you to know that I'm good. I'm fine. Whatever happens, I know where I belong. be steadfast, immovable. And then it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always excelling in God's work. That steadfast, that immovable, it's talking about is that Easter defines our focus. It's a focus that says, my life is going to be related to the Lord. Jesus said it like this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. My life is going to be centered in and related to him. But then Paul goes on and he says, not only steadfast and immovable, but always excelling the work of the Lord. For you remember Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that? Always excelling in the work of the Lord. It has to do with how we serve in the name of the Lord Jesus. Last Sunday night, we had a time in which we just said thank you to some faithful servants here at North Oxford who have served the Lord faithfully for 30 years or more. And it was a wonderful time. It really was. And one of them just said, it's been a labor of love, which it absolutely has. What a beautiful thing to watch over a long period of time, people just serving the Lord and blessing the lives of those around them. Paul said, Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, should make all the difference in the world in the way you live as you relate to God and as you relate to others. You know, on that Sunday, when Jesus, now still warm but dead body, was hanging suspended by those nails, there are a lot of folks that didn't get it. The Jews didn't get it. They had thought that this one who has come to disrupt everything and disrupt our religion, he's finally gone. And they thought it was over. Even the followers of Jesus that had come and were standing around the cross, after they saw him die, turned around, dejected, and walked away because they thought it was over. The Roman soldiers who were there had seen this happen thousands of times, as they had participated in crucifixions and they saw people die and they knew it was over. But I tell you, there was another who thought it was over, and it's the evil one. He'd been after Jesus ever since. He had recognized who Jesus was, and he went after him in a wilderness area, spent 40 days trying to tempt him. And he'd been after him over and over and over again all through that time. And he'd seen Jesus harassed and hounded and persecuted. And now finally, the body of Jesus hung limp and dead from a cross. And the evil one thought, it's over. But God, our powerful God, in the blink of an eye, in one cosmic millisecond, infused the dead corpse of Jesus with life. And he became our Savior. James Stewart of Scotland wrote these words. He says, they nailed him to a tree, not knowing that by that very act they were bringing the world to his feet. They gave him a cross, not guessing that he would make it a throne. They flung him outside the city gates to die, not knowing that in that very moment they were lifting up the gates of the universe to let the king come in. They thought to root out his doctrines, not understanding that they were implanting imperishably in the hearts of men the very name they intended to destroy. They thought that they had God with his back to the wall, pinned helpless and defeated. They didn't know that it was God himself who had tracked them down. He did not conquer in spite of the dark mystery of evil. He conquered through it. Folks, let me tell you something. Easter matters. Easter matters. Easter defines our faith, and it defines our future, and it defines our focus. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. I walk with him and talk with him along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for just making this a day that we celebrate one time a year. Lord, I pray this morning that you will so convict our hearts about what Easter, what the resurrection of Jesus really means to our faith, to our future as we face our own Easter. If we belong to you, to our focus and the way we live our lives. Father, convict us where we need to be convicted, I pray. Help us. We need it. We need it. But Lord, I thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to live with us. And in his life in us, we know Jesus is alive. Do what you want to with us, with all of this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close our time, we're going to have an invitation, and we do it on purpose. We do it on purpose because I just can't help but believe that when we come into the presence of God and we worship him like we have here today, that he speaks to every single one of us. And you may come here today and not expecting that, but I pray God has spoken to you today. I really, really do. I hope that he has spoken his love to you, his desire for you, his intent for your life, to be a life that is totally satisfied and a life that is totally used for the purpose which you were made. Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, was talking about this new birth that comes, and Nicodemus didn't get all of that. And in questioning Jesus, Jesus said this to him. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish." We want to thank you for worshiping with us, and wanted just to encourage you to come and worship with us in person whenever you can. I just want you to know, if you have anybody you'd like to talk to, we'd love to talk to you about any decisions that you might need to make concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ. Why don't you look us up on our website, check us out, give us a call, any way that you need to contact us. We're so glad that you've been with us. Thank you.